Scump Brasa.
That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is a show where two brasa talk movie news, review shorts, and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I am Jody.
This week we go talking about the sequel of the Spider-Man.
Spider people.
I need a plan.
When have we ever?
We have never. Oh, well, we're back once again with the Renegade action.
Shame.
Slum.
Shame. Slum Shady killed Jay-Z on Renegade. Killed him dead.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
You want to talk about rap beefs? Because you know the rapper Melly Mel from back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Well,
Melvin.
Yeah. That's his full name.
Yeah.
With a Y after the M. Myalvin.
Myalvin.
No, so Melly Mel is like a legendary rapper from like the fucking 80s, right? Mm-hmm. And him and Eminem had beef for some reason.
Of course.
And then Eminem, they made a diss track for Melly Mel. And you know Eminem. And then Melly Mel released a diss track for Eminem. Okay. But it's like, hey, who, what you say? Everybody fucking party. What the hell? And Eminem, you bad guy. You bad guy. And people are like, what the fuck is this?
Wow.
What fucking...
it's a bold direction
I
to go.
Know. I went to the hat store today and I bought myself a hat.
That's it. Eminem sucks.
On that note, let's get into the news.
Where news and shorts.
Five sticks your seatbelt again. Yeah.
Just had to start with the family.
I know the family is important, and the one thing about family is you can never get rid of them.
No.
So
despite their own business.
No matter how hard you try. So the Fast X trilogy, which they were teasing the whole time.
They being
Vin Diesel. Mm. And now there's an update.
Yeah. So things have slowed down. They were in
ironically for a franchise called Fast.
You know, they were in that buzz of like press and everything, and then they made the brave decision to go to VOD.
They get caught so up quickly. In the hype on that press tour, like so much.
Yeah,
and that's kind of before everyone sees the movie. And I seen it with all of them. I mentioned this the last time. Mm. Him, Ludacris, anyone involved, they're just like, "This is the biggest one. We're the biggest franchise. Yeah. We're the best."
Yeah. Why are you hating on us and not giving us Oscars?
That's now reality came. So you're saying?
So Vin Diesel seemingly just by himself decided that this was going to be a trilogy, not a duology. No? Original plan, two final movies.
Yeah.
End with that.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel, trilogy? Who's anyone saying trilogy? Trilogy? And no one said trilogy to that. But
is the trilogy in the room with us right now?
Show me on this glass where the trilogy touches. So Louis Leterrier, the director that came in after Justin Lin stepped away, he's now doing just general press because he's not doing anything, right? And the trilogy thing keeps coming up, and he's like, look, you know, sometimes you want to get rid of the reporters because you don't really smart to talk to them. So you just say things.
No.
And you don't remember what you say afterwards.
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened. But you was dealing with your family, man. Yeah. So you have to.
I mean, he's the main canine of the franchise. So as a director, you, even though like you're the director, you still kind of don't want to piss him off.
Yeah. Also, he's the producer. So they would have been subject to producers anyway. But now Louis is trying to pull it back a bit. Just pull it back to what the original plans were.
Yes.
Because Vin's statement was, it took everyone by surprise.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a room full of execs.
I think even himself.
I don't think there was a room full of execs who was telling Vin, like, we want the trilogy.
Are the execs in the room?
Are the execs in the trilogy?
So, he kind of hinted strongly at there being just two, like they had previously planned, correct?
Yeah.
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 And I mean, this is what we wanted.
Yes.
Well, no, what we wanted was one final film, I think.
One good film.
Yeah.
Would also suffice.
No, we always want good films.
Yeah, that would suffice.
And it would have been nice for them to end on a high note.
And I think what puts Louis Leterrier on the spot is that we know that he had to rewrite that entire, the one that he came on board for. He had to rewrite it on the plane.
Yeah.
So he's like, where the fuck do I find more? Yeah. I can't find more.
I squeeze this fucking, this lemon is empty, my bro.
It's
bone dry.
They already, the zest is off, my bro.
Nah, they need to reel that motherfucker in. But I'm glad there's only one more happening.
Yes. He does, there's a caveat. If the next one makes money, because look, the last one made 700 and something global, which isn't actually, all things considered, that's a big step back for them.
Yep.
And if the next one does make money, then obviously sequels back on the table. It's Universal's going to milk that cow for all it's worth. Right now, they're not planning on it, but if the next one is big enough, then who knows?
Unless they follow the adventures of Lil B, just like killing people.
I think that is potentially the plan.
With rocket cars.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fuck this franchise. Barbenheimer has come and gone.
Still coming in certain places.
But I mean, like, the hype has really died down now, and now it is down to the numbers.
Yeah. I mean, Jen and I watched Barbie on Friday.
Did she enjoy it?
She did. Our audience was a bit
Drug.
Mid.
Okay.
So mid, Ross.
Yeah, but Jody, you can't expect audiences to have the same experience.
Just find some of the jokes, man. That's the thing.
And I get it.
Like some.
My expectation for the people around me, it's the bar is on the floor. Like, that's why I think it feels so liquor when we like go to the movies and then there's a vibe.
Yeah.
Because it's so fucking rare.
It adds to the experience.
Yeah, but it's rare as well. So it's like, when you go to like a normal movie where people are conservative, you're like,
no one's laughing at anything.
But
didn't you catch it?
Overall, she enjoyed it.
Yeah, she did.
Okay. You definitely added to the over $1 billion box office.
Yeah. Most successful female directed film ever
in the world. Wow. Yeah. I knew it was going to make a lot of money.
I didn't expect this, though.
I didn't expect over $1 billion.
But the success of this movie, the marketing, we spoke about it.
Cultural relevance.
It's just, it's amazing.
It is. And I'm glad. I mean, now I'm concerned about the sequel.
Yeah, the talks are definitely really there, but I'm like,
the story was so...
It doesn't need it.
Yeah.
The story is the story.
Yeah.
It had the perfect ending. Also, Oppenheimer, going the full Barbenheimer now.
Yeah.
That's made over $600 million, and it's an R-rated three-hour movie. So together, and look, this is
all. Everyone's to watch it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
Everyone's to watch a Nolan movie.
She hasn't learned from the last
time. She has not learned. She got burned before, and now she's like, fire, that doesn't hurt.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, it's 3 hours, Jody.
Exactly. But now just think, with limited screenings, because that's what a three-hour film does, and R-rated, the fact that that movie made so much, I think you and I have been talking about the fact that Barbie's done all the work, though.
Yeah.
In terms of selling it as a package, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, Barbie carried that shit. 100%.
Oppenheimer's not bringing much to the table on this.
3 hours. I mean, I'm curious.
I really want to see it.
But 3 hours, Jody.
I've been reading Prometheus at home, the book that it's based on.
Oh, Alien.
Yeah. The good one. You know, Charlize.
Yeah. just run sideways.
Just that way.
Just left. Or right.
Either.
Anyway.
Whichever political leaning you have, just go, man.
And you enjoying the book.
Yeah, it is. It's a fascinating portrayal of this guy that came up with the fucking atom bomb.
Well, I won't spoil the ending for you.
There's a bomb.
William Friedkin.
You know him?
I know what he's done. I don't know him personally.
Not friends with him?
No.
I know a few people.
Well, the thing is, he was quite a character, apparently.
Yeah, quite a character. There was this thing called like new wave Hollywood in the 70s that he was apparently right at the forefront of. Mm. But he had some insane films. Like
Exorcist.
The French Connection.
That was like the blueprint for crime thrillers like going forward.
50, basically. In any case, Exorcist, my favorite. The way that he adapted that book is... like, it's mind-boggling how good that movie is.
There's a new one coming, eh?
Yeah, Believer or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a sequel to his original one, yeah.
And now he's dead.
Another one of those. What do you call them? Requels?
Legacy sequels.
Legacy sequels, yeah. Mm. So, they're getting the original cast back. Linda Blair and What's-Her-Face, they're all coming back as well. Cancelling out a whole bunch of shitty sequels and going straight to his original film.
Yeah.
Continuing from there.
Yeah.
Did you watch Killer Joe?
Yes, like I love that film. That's a really good film.
Sadly, underrated movie.
It is. Yeah, people should watch that
film. Matthew McConaughey in that movie.
Amazing.
Just, yes. Because that was part of his, like, he won the Oscar for Dallas Buyers, but this and Mud and a few other things were the movies.
This was the reconnaissance,
The reconnaissance.
I'm like, reconnaissance? Mm. That's where you go and see if everything's fine. First, that's recorded.
No.
That's not what he did.
No.
But R.I.P. William Friedkin, a legend and a trailblazer.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Gal Gadot.
Not sure how I feel about this.
Fuck Gal Gadot.
Not sure how I feel about this one.
I feel weird about Gal Gadot.
Mm.
Okay. We watched Heart of Stone.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's not good.
Mm.
She is not good.
Mm.
So as an actress, I feel like she has made no progress.
Yeah.
Like if you compare to The Rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Rock has definitely been going for
a while.
Classes.
Yeah.
Attending classes.
I mean, if you go from Scorpion King, Walking Tall, all that shit to, there's a clear progression.
Yeah. And with Gal Gadot, zero.
Mm.
But...
what do you actually like then? Like for me, that first Wonder Woman
is the only thing.
The only film that she's led that I like is Wonder Woman.
But the thing is, like,
very specifically,
I respect what she's doing, right? Because she's moved into production and she's trying to build like something there. So this fucking movie, Heart of Stone, not very good, but it makes sense for her because. She can do the action stuff. She can do the action stuff like 100%.
Mm.
And then she's a producer on this and she's led and it's on Netflix and it's...
So no one has any idea how the finances work.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Netflix people watch generic action movies like all the time. You know what I mean? Like it's on Netflix there and whatever. So it's kind of the perfect wheelhouse. But I was still very disappointed.
And Netflix doesn't care about your reason for why you watch it. They just care that you watch it.
So I don't understand... It makes sense for her because there's no other way she could get work, I think.
Mm.
And now she's got a fucking Cleopatra movie.
Yeah. Long gestating Cleopatra movie. That film's been in production for like, 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah. But it boggles my mind. And then you read this fucking story.
Yeah.
That says that Gal Gadot says being Margot Robbie's first choice for Barbie warmed my heart. I was very touched. Are you fucking crazy?
Yeah, she was legit she was Margot Robbie's choice for stereotypical Barbie.
Is Margot Robbie on drugs?
With all the other good stuff that she did for that film, eh? Jenna's first question to me was Gal Gadot going to have blonde hair? If she was going to be stereotypical Barbie.
Was Gal Gadot going to have talent?
Ability.
Yeah, like...
Imagine the emotional scenes with Gal Gadot in them.
Not a chance, bro.
All the Barbies would have had to get the accent as well.
Yeah. It's fucking Themyscira all over again. No, I just can't believe it. And I feel like because she is a beautiful woman, I feel like she gets a lot of... because, I mean, a lot of people love her because of how she looks.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in interviews, she's really nice.
Did you see her heart wings?
I saw her heart ones.
The heart ones, yeah.
No, I saw it, yeah. And it was all right.
But also, I almost felt like Sean was fawning over her the way that you are saying now. Like, just because she's really attractive.
Yeah.
He was different to how he normally is.
Yeah, he was too gracious.
Yeah.
It's like, you got no shot, Sean. She's married with a kid.
But he wasn't. He's really like fawning over this woman who's right in front of him.
No.
I mean, she's coiling a boor off.
She's just spitting. Not even coiling. Spitting. Yeah. I did respect that though.
Yeah, and that burn.
Yeah, no, but fuck it. Like people are like, oh, she's so stunning. She's probably like prim and proper all the time. No. For her to just speak like that, I was like, nah, I respect.
Because that's your mouth is full of.
Oh yeah, I've been there, my bro. I've fucking been there. So this is ridiculous. And you know, you feel like Netflix is a pyramid scheme. Mm. I think her career is also like a pyramid scheme.
But now they're saying if Barbie 2 is a thing,
she's going to come in as an Israeli Barbie.
Yeah, because.
In like an army uniform.
Yeah, that won't cause any issues with release. But now they're saying Margot Robbie's story has been told. Like, that Barbie is donezo. Like, you don't need to bring her back.
No.
So you need new stories.
No, I would rather watch a full weird Barbie movie than fucking Gal Gadot.
That would be something.
I know. fuck this, Jody. Alex Baldwin.
So Alex is not the main thing here.
Well, it's Alex. Sorry.
Yeah, no. You just go there.
Yeah, let's go with it.
He's Alex Baldwin. He's the other Baldwin. The one who's taking the fall. They went to Alex and they're like, listen. Alex, the only one Alex, that makes money.
You have the closest name to Alex. He's getting this entire family. Can you
no
just.
No one will know.
Yeah. 25 years.
Yeah. So we've got an update on the Rust case, right? Mm. The armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, has pled not guilty.
Nice.
Now, it's taken forever to get to this point, even, like the pleading stage of this trial.
Oh, yeah.
But what's important here is that Alec Baldwin's been going around saying he's gotten off, he's free, right? That they're not charging him. Mm. They can still charge him.
Mm.
This is just at this point in time.
Maybe not Enrique Obey.
That Anna Gutierrez Reed is
maybe
the one.
Maybe shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So you need to just chill.
Wait till the trial is done.
As evidence comes out. And the only reason he got, that they said he's actually not being charged right now, is that his attorneys used the defense that the gun may have gone off accidentally.
Mm.
Maybe. Mm. And then they were like, okay, cool. We don't have enough to charge you at this point.
Yeah.
But there's other shit as well. They like this armorer was also doing like set design and prop management and all sorts of other things.
Oh, yeah.
Like she was overworked completely.
It's like classic corporate.
And didn't get any training. The training she asked for, she didn't get.
Nice.
So it's a pretty fucked up situation.
Yeah.
And Alec is not as scot-free as what he has been telling everybody he is.
So he needs to shut up. Just keep quiet.
Just keep quiet. Because you could still, that long arm of the law might still be coming after you, pal.
Even if there wasn't a strike, he can't work now until this whole shit is done.
But that's why they made such a big thing about the. No, Alex, he's not being charged anymore.
Yeah. Maybe he can be in that other brother just going to quit.
Spacey's new movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's releasing in December. I think I left that out of the news deliberately.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that. Okay, well, good luck and all the best.
To Alec.
Oh, Alex. No, to Alex. I hope you don't have to go down for the show.
Keep that Baldwin clan alive, Opel.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This week, we are reviewing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Probably the movie we were most excited about.
Yeah, since the first one.
Yeah. So in this one, Miles Morales returns for the next chapter of the Oscar-winning Spider-Verse saga, an epic adventure that will transport Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man across the multiverse to join forces with Gwen Stacy and the new team of Spider-People to face off with a villain more powerful than anything they have ever encountered.
It's Brooklyn!
Brooklyn, y'all.
Oh, this movie sorry, that reminded me of Transformers.
Which one?
The latest one?
Oh.
Brooklyn!
Oh, yeah.
New York! It's Brooklyn! Stand up! What up? Oh, bro, the latest one's sick. Anyway, sorry.
I really liked it.
I know you did. I
My favorite Pete Davidson role ever.
I disliked it less on the second watch, I think.
Did you watch it twice?
Yeah.
Good stuff. This movie is directed by Joaquin Dos Santos, Kemp Powers, and Justin K. Thompson. This cast includes Shameik Moore returning as Miles. We have Gwen Stacy played by Hailee Steinfeld. Ooh. We have Oscar Isaac. We have Jake Johnson.
Ow!
Yo, I don't know who I'm supposed to focus on here because it's a lot. Brian Tyree Henry, Luna Lauren Velez. Jason Schwartzman is the one of the villains that we have. Issa Rae as Jessica Drew. Daniel Kaluuya is not the spoiler, eh?
No.
He was
Spider-Punk. Entire cast was announced.
Yeah, he's just not in a lot of the stuff. Mahershala Ali is in this as well. Shea Whigham, Greta Lee, Andy Samberg, Jack Quaid, Rachel Dratch. This is an insane cast.
Insane cast for an insane film. So we pick up a little bit after the events of the first one.
Mm.
Miles is a bit older. Mm. He's managing to be Spider-Man, but as with Spider-Man and all Spider-Man's
peoples,
they're struggling with the balance of their everyday life and saving, people.
Yeah. I don't think it's a spoiler, but we start with Gwen in this film.
Gwanda.
With Gwanda.
Sorry, I recently watched the first one and she's like, I'm Gwanda. I'm from Africa.
Oh, wait, I can do that now, yes.
What?
Now that they both are, I can watch the first and the second back to back.
Yeah, I watched the first one just before I watched the second one.
Oh, okay.
It's really good, as a back to back class.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
I wait, Dala.
So, starts off with Gwen, but we also see that Miles is on his own now.
Mm.
He misses his other
Spider-People. Yeah, because there's no other Spider-People in his universe.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they are the only ones who understand what he's going through.
Yeah.
His journey is maybe slightly different to what a lot of the other spider people have gone through, but he's also had loss. He's also got that issue of balance and all of that shit.
Mm. And he's black and Latino at the same time, which that just makes your life harder already.
Yes. Plus, he's like in that school that is like the school that he originally didn't want to be in.
The
private school vibes and all that as well. So, Miles is sickling.
Miles is sickling. Mm. Now, as the story continues, the parents are now forced to be like more involved because he's not performing at school. And they are like super concerned.
Yeah.
And he's like teetering on that borderline of telling them or not
telling
them.
They don't know why.
Yeah. They obviously don't know why. Yeah. But he's like, there's a point where he almost tells them after they're like cucking him out for.
But that's very important.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's like. Yes. And then, so Spot comes along.
Yeah. It's almost one of my favorite introductions of a
villain. It's the best. Because he's so lame. Shame.
So inept at what he does.
He's not very good.
Mm.
Which I actually loved because I've never seen a representation of this character this ever. Like, in certain iterations, he's like super formidable when it comes to like fighting.
Yeah.
I've seen him in like animated films and stuff. But in this one, no spoilers, but where they take that character is like,
where they take him and where he came from. Yeah. It's like so perfect for this universe. Yo, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that we are going to be gushing quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm wet.
I'm soaked, man.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there. I'm on a towel.
So,
no.
Like Spot's journey is just incredible.
But this is the first time Miles encounters him, and Miles is just like, what the fuck? Because he's like, I'm your nemesis. And Miles is like, I don't even know you, bro. Like, what are you doing?
And all of that also serves as drivers for Spot because he's like, yo, you don't even remember me.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to kick your ass. I love
the way they tied it back to the first one.
Exactly.
Bagel.
Yeah. No spoilers.
Yeah, kind of.
And then we also get introduced to the other spider people.
Yeah, I mean, look, the movie starts. I know I was talking about Miles now, but just like for continuity. But the movie actually starts with Gwanda.
Yeah.
And a spider story. Her also struggling with, do I tell my father? I have to keep this a secret, whatever. Because she was raised by a father that is not with a woman.
Yeah.
A single father, if you will.
Here we go. Just love how you got to that that description in the end. If you will, though. I mean, you don't have to.
So she was raised by a single father.
Relationshiply challenged.
Oh, wait.
You know.
And then She's Spider. So her story is different because Peter Parker kind of became the Lizard and that fucked him up. And then after he fought and whatever, and then he died because the Lizard venom, was, the Lizard serum, like fucked him up.
Yeah.
And then he knew she was Spider Woman.
Yeah.
And she had to like lose him and whatever. So it was tough. And
I've never seen that story.
No, me. I before, didn't read. So I didn't read Spider Gwen.
But I love that. It was
yeah, it's cool.
Like as a new version of
yeah
of like that same like spider person struggle. Yeah. It was a dope story.
So ever since that happened, her father was like. He had arrived on the scene, eh? Mm. And then he saw her and he saw Peter Freck. So he
was, being Spider Gwen.
Yeah, Spider Gwen. And he was like determined to bring her to justice because he thought she murdered him. And that's like where the thing is. And then she gets introduced to the Society Spiders.
Yeah.
So Spider Society.
Yeah, because of a version of Vulture that's not from a.
It's world. Like from a paper universe.
Ancient, like paper universe. Oh, Ross, we're going to talk about
this. Yeah, I know.
The stuff. But you.
Yeah.
Anyway. Fuck. So she meets the Spider, the Spider Society people, led by Miguel O'Hara, Spider Man
1999. Part vampire.
Yeah. And also, what's. What is Issa Rae's character's name now again?
She is also Spider-Woman, isn't it?
Is it Spider-Woman? Jessica Drew.
Jessica Drew, yeah. But she's the spider. She's also Spider-Woman.
Yeah, pregnant Spider-Woman.
Yeah, that's on a motorbike.
Yeah, amazing. Like every spider person that you meet in this movie is insane. So we've had a few movies now to multiverse vibes.
Yes.
Some a lot better than others. Where do you put this one?
This is the best one.
By far.
Yeah.
That's not the question.
It's the best one.
That's not the question.
None of the universes are there for like specks and bunches.
Yeah.
Even if they get a cameo, it's like, that's a dope cameo. And I understand the vastness of it.
And not just that, I wish I could see more.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all of them are like
all of them.
Yeah. I feel like the multiverses in other films are not different enough. Mm. And they're just like, oh, this character.
A slight is now, tweaks yeah, of yeah. the same thing.
But again, this is animation, so it allows them to go like crazy with it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is hands down the best multiverse film.
Hands down. The explanation for the story and what drives the story, which we'll touch on in the spoilers, is just it's brilliant. The reason for actually having to engage with the multiverse makes sense here.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to in the other movies that do multiverses, they're just doing it because they want to do a multiverse. And in this one, there's a threat that is actually a very good reason for why we have to go into this multiverse.
Yeah, and exactly. So, yeah, we get introduced to the multiverse. And then there's a moment with Gwen and her father where she has no option but to leave her universe and go to the Spider Society. Mm. And then we get into Miles. And then Gwen comes to visit Miles.
Yeah, just so happy that they...
It's the first time that he's seen her since the events of the first film. They're swinging around and he still misses her. He's still kind of like... Oh, he's got like romantic interest in her, right? Obviously.
And in him, I think.
Yeah, but obviously she's more reserved.
She's more that there's also... Like she's got that old thing of having lost a best friend.
Yeah.
Thing. But yeah, I think that the romantic side of it is strongly alluded to.
Yeah. I'm okay if they don't end up together, though.
The Bear vibes.
Yeah, the Bear vibes. Mm. Yeah, that's kind of where all this stuff kicks off. And he's introduced him to Dingus. To the he sneaks into the thing and they become the I don't know what to spoil.
She comes there because of Spot.
But then I don't know. They kind of showed the Spider Society in there,
but with no context.
Yeah,
like
in the trailer. Yeah,
So it's much better. And we didn't even say, but the reason we're reviewing this is that Across the Spider-Verse is out on digital now, so people can watch it
at home.
Yeah, so we don't want to spoil shit for you because the stuff in the spoilers and the story that's revealed is just like
next level.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
So we really don't want to spoil shit for
the animation. Let's talk about that then, because if we're done with story, you can talk about performances. But I feel like every voice actor, like
everyone's
came to the party.
Yeah,
even the cameos.
Everyone.
I mean, there's a super funny cameo with Andy Samberg.
Yeah, O'Reilly.
Yeah, which is.
It's not obscure, but it's not the mainstream story.
No, not at all. I mean, if you remember, like I remember reading the Clone Saga, and it was like that. That's just God, this guy's so fucking sad.
Existential.
Yeah.
Such an existential crisis.
But anyway, like all the voice acting is absolutely amazing. You can't fault it.
It's not perfect.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. I mean, maybe there's some complaints that we don't engage with all the characters from the original. From not the original, from the first movie.
Yes.
In this one.
But I'm okay with that.
We're going to, we'll explain.
I'll explain why I'm okay with that also. Anyway, so the animation, again, I did not think they could top, what's the first one called?
Into the Spider-Verse.
Into.
Yeah.
Let's just give them those names.
Into Across.
Into Across and Beyond is the trilogy. I don't think they could beat Into, but my God, did they beat Into.
They not just beat just
them. Fucking Gwen's universe on its own is stunning.
That's beautiful.
It's like fucking art, man.
Because that's watercolors.
Yes, it's watercolors with a pastel palette. Mm. And it's pink and blue hues and stuff. It's just absolutely stunning.
And the multiverse stuff, again, without spoilers now, but... just how they make things contrast when something's not where it should be.
Yeah.
Is also like...
it's really good.
Dude.
So the animation was on point. Like the action scenes and everything, even though it's bananas. There's a lot of visual elements coming at you.
But I don't feel overwhelmed.
Exactly. I can still see what's going on.
You can follow.
Yeah, exactly. And that is something that Transformers had to learn. I don't know why I keep bringing it back to Transformers.
I know, maybe you should have watched it twice.
No. Beast Wars was Into the Beast. Mm. What's it called?
Yeah, Beast Wars.
No, Rise of the Beast.
Rise of the Beast, yes.
Anyway, so that was way better than like 3 and 4 of Dungus's ones. But anyway, visually, so stunning. The action,
so good.
The colors, the fucking vibrance of it. And then the contrast of the villain and his style compared to the other stuff. Fucking and, just.
But you know what I also like in this one is that Miles is, as you said, it's a little further along. So Miles is a bit better, but he's still like not a lot worse.
Yeah, he's not full on Spider-Man.
He's not full on yet. Yeah. He's not fully formed yet. So he's still... like, there's still moments where he's not
He's a teenager.
He's not making the best decision at any given time.
No.
And that's always what made Spider-Man the top Marvel character was his relatability to kids.
Yeah.
To, like, that core audience. And Miles is that, I think. More so than Tom Holland and everyone else is.
Oh,
I'm
Spider-Man.
At least me.
I'm a Spider-Man. No, I like Tom Holland, but this...
I like him.
Can't touch this.
Yeah.
This is the best Spider-Man story
it's the
ever best. Made. Honestly.
That is. I came out of this and I was like, I don't know how... I don't know how the others...
You can't touch it. And if you say otherwise, then fuck you.
No, you don't know.
No, you're wrong. Yeah. No, look, Sam Raimi... That has a special place in my heart. Spider-Man 2 has a special place in my heart. I don't care for what came after that. Mm. And then Tom Holland kind of, done that again. But nothing they have ever done has come close to this. And it boggles my mind because this is Sony.
Yes.
This is just Sony.
It's pure Sony.
And then we like, we got a Kraven the Hunter movie coming out. And then it's like, what?
Yeah.
How can you make this?
Not sure I'm going to watch that, Ross.
And then Venom, you know?
And Morbius.
I don't understand. I know
it's lesbius.
I know it's the animated studio. I know it.
Doesn't matter. Same execs.
Same company, man.
Same execs.
Yeah, this one had like 3 directors.
Yes.
Now you think like 3 directors, it's 3 of them sitting by the camera, 3 doing... No, but all of them had different skill sets.
Yes.
And all of them focused on that part of the actual production.
And all of them have strong animated background.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
And what's also important is that like Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the people that were involved in the first film, are also still involved here. And like the writing and stuff, there's consistency there. Mm. But I mean, there is also some controversy now that's come out with a digital release, which I think we should touch on in the spoilers.
Yes, let's touch on the spoilers. So after all that, the animation, the acting, the story itself. Mm. Okay, we know it's both quiet for us. that's a fucking given.
Yeah.
But do you think it's better than the first one?
Yes, for me. The first one was, it caught me by surprise because I really didn't expect what the first one became. I went into this with very high expectation, and it surpassed my expectations.
Okay.
So in that way, for me, it's a better one than the first one.
I think I will agree with you. But again, once you watch it back to back, you kind of appreciate it as a whole story. Yeah. But yeah, quiet for me.
And I am, like, I don't know when the last one's coming out.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that.
But to see this completed story, hey bro, possibly best trilogy ever.
Possibly. Has the potential.
Has the potential.
Miles is an anomaly, and then he goes to a wrong universe, and he's in a universe where Miles is actually the Prowler.
And because the spider's DNA.
Yeah, spider's DNA was the wrong fucking universe
and
DNA.
And he confesses to his mom, but does not actually.
No, he didn't confess to his mom because it's not his mom. It's a different mom.
Wrong universe.
Gee whiz, that's a lot of spoilers.
That whole sequence unfolding.
Fuck. Class, bro. Class. So
because we should have known.
We should have known.
That is... It's one of those brilliant twists in a movie.
Yeah, the technical term is an old switcheroo.
The old switcheroo, yeah. what did they call them in Lucky Number 11? A Texas ass shuffle, you know?
Is it? Was it an ass shuffle?
No, it wasn't.
I don't know. No, but you can't reference a thing and then slightly be off because now it's going to irk me.
You make them look this way and then you go that way.
Yeah.
This twist was in plain sight, like literally in plain sight, because of the logic that they've explained to us already.
Yeah.
And yet, when it was unfolding, I was shocked to my core with what happened.
I'm still focused on that Lucky Number 11 thing. Fucker. God. Anyway, but you are 100% correct. I think it's a culmination of like everything, man. And the way the story unfolds, like the timing of everything. Because it builds and builds and builds, and then Miles escapes and whatever, and then it comes to you think he's safe, you know what I mean? But let's
get back, because we somehow went right to the in this case, the biggest twist is also at the end of the film, so we went right to the end. But the story that we actually have here is that Bagel, the scientist from the first movie, he actually got really messed up when Miles had that big battle with Kingpin and everybody.
Yeah.
So that whole thing with their personal Hadron Collider that they designed and shit, that made this bra basically capable of going across universes. Yeah. Right? That's the Spot's ability. And
well, he didn't actually know that. His ability was just like, I create little portals.
Little portals. And he thought it's within one world, but it can actually take him to any world. And because of that existence, the Spider Society, they are a group of people who essentially manage the multiverse.
Yeah.
To ensure that everything that should happen, happens.
That does happen. And according to 2099, things are super sensitive. And if the canon events don't happen, it could bring the entire multiverse down.
And the canon events are basically like those people that must die.
Ben Parker dying.
In every Superman's life.
Peter Parker dying, like in Gwen's universe. Like every universe has a thing.
Yeah. And if that doesn't happen, you are tearing at the fabric of
So for an example, like Miles goes into the Spider Universe, he follows Gwanda, and they go to Mombatan.
Yeah. You're such an amazing
world. Fuck.
Also one of the best spider people.
Yes. And they meet Indian Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious because he's voiced by Kumail Nanjiani.
No, it's
It's not Kumail Nanjiani, it's Karan Soni.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
That was racist.
So racist. Well, muscled now, man.
He is. But he's Spider-Man from Mombatan, Indian Spider-Man. And the way he uses his webs that's rolled up in those bangles.
Yeah.
Fucking class. His design is dope. His hair is glorious.
The design of everyone. Spider-Person is... There's so much thought that went into each one of them.
So Miles stops a canon event in Mumbai.
Which is that Pavita Prabhakar is his name. So not Peter Parker.
Yeah, Pavita Prabhakar, And his girlfriend's father was about to die, who was the police chief.
So like he's Captain Stacy.
Gwen's in the Amazing Spiders And he stops that. Miles stops that. And then they were like, hey, you shouldn't have stopped that. Yeah. That was a canon event.
Because then we see this
canon event, damn it. And then there's a hole that starts to appear. Yeah. And they're like, oh, the multiverse is starting to fucking go to shit, yeah. So then they find out that after all the explanations, actually, Miles was not supposed to be bitten by that spider.
Yes, because with that whole Hadron Collider vibe thing going on, a spider from a different universe.
Yeah, 43.
Yes.
Yeah.
Came into Miles' universe where there was a Spider-Man. There was like one of the best Peter Parkers.
Yeah. Possible. Well, the best.
Yeah.
Peter A. Parker.
And that Peter got killed, not because of Miles, but Miles being around kind of played a reason in it. So Miles shouldn't have existed theoretically.
Yeah.
And he is an anomaly to everything, which is like, he's already not fitting in anyway.
No.
Like, he's struggling at school. He can't talk to his family.
Yeah.
His dad is at risk in his universe.
Yeah.
That's his risk, is that his father is the one that he's going to lose, actually, potentially.
Potentially.
Because his dad's going to become captain or chief, whatever.
Captain, yeah, sorry.
So he's got all of that going on. And then he's also told, you shouldn't have powers.
Which is cool, because it ties into the first movie, right? He realized that with the help of Peter B. Parker, anyone can wear the mask.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, he's accepted it now and whatever. Mm. But now we come back and fucking, in terms of the multiverse, Miguel is telling him, not everyone can wear the mask. You don't deserve this mask. Yeah. You shouldn't have this mask.
You shouldn't even have it in the first place.
And it's a big problem for us.
Yeah.
So before we get to what happens in the dingus, we also get introduced in Mumbatan, but then into the Spider Society, Spider-Punk.
Oh.
I love Spider-Punk.
Just Daniel Kaluuya.
The best. He captures that cool, I don't give a fuck attitude. Without even being extra in any way. No.
And it's not just that.
It's not something that can be taught, man.
It's not just I don't give a fuck, but it's also I'm going to make cuck.
Yeah, and but in this calendar, man. It is the best. Because like, he's constantly making comments that go against what they're doing.
Yeah.
And while they're walking through the Spider Society, he's just stealing stuff all the time.
And also, Miles hates him.
Yeah, because
Gwen keeps talking about him.
Oh, wait till you meet. What's his name? Obi.
Yeah. Hobie.
Hobie. Yeah. Wait till you meet Obi.
And he's like, who's Hobie?
You left. I left my stuff there or whatever. And he's like, oh, so you stayed the night.
And then Obi is the one spider person who actually has his back.
Miles is back, yes.
The whole time.
Yes. I was like, fuck. This is amazing. Mm. He's such a cool, but his design as well. It's just like this, that punk style.
But it's kind of chaotic.
Because it's crafty and paper and denim and all these spikes and shit. Amazing. Spider-Punk's the shit.
Yeah.
We didn't get a lot of him, but I'm okay because I feel like we're going to get more of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like you're going to get more of everyone.
I think you could argue that Peter B. Parker was a big part of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And has a much smaller role in this film.
Yes.
He's got his little girl now.
Yes,
as well.
He's got a daughter named...
I don't know. Is it Lila?
Lilo.
Lila is the computer's voice.
Yes.
Sorry.
Her name is Midge or Maddie.
Midge. Okay, I can't find her.
I'm never going to find it. Mm. So, yeah, he's got a daughter now. His responsibilities has changed. And it's like, which kind of also hurt a little because he was the one who told Miles that anyone can wear the mask. But now he's involved in the Spider-Verse. And even though he's empathetic to Miles and shit, he's still like...
Ultimately, we need to save the multiverse.
Exactly. So Miles then realizes, shit. They're going to keep me here.
I don't get away.
Yeah, they're going to keep me here. And my father, there's a possibility he's going to die.
Yes.
I cannot let that happen.
They need that to happen, despite me being an anomaly, which I guess is kind of a bit of a... like
contradiction,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
But also, the device that they have that ties back to the whole thing with Gwen is this thing, like the spider thing that sends villains back to their proper universe.
Yeah.
Because the villains have been crossing over because of fabric of reality.
Yeah, fabric. Yeah. It's like polyester and then
keep cotton. Staring. Yeah. Can't stitch it together. You need a blend, man.
Yeah, and I like the comments also. Yeah, it's totally painless. When
and then you look at
them screaming.
Nah,
then Miles escapes the Spider-Verse in one of the best scenes in the entire film. That's also cool because there's these blink and you miss it cameos of all the spider people in the spider society while he's trying to escape. It's brilliant.
It is insane.
Like, even in spoilers, I don't really want to spoil things for people.
It's like watch it and then come tell us which ones you like type of thing.
Because it's perfect. There's no other way.
And I am so excited now to watch again for that.
Now, I watch again. Abby hasn't seen the second one yet.
Yeah.
So I have to watch it whenever she's ready. Then I'm excited for that. But that scene itself is like really, really good.
Yeah.
And he escapes, and that's when we get the old switcheroo. But now, this is also something that I want to talk about because I think that it plays a huge part in the reveal and stuff is the music. Because the music itself is like a character in this film. Everyone has their own theme because now we're introduced to Gwanda's theme and she's a drummer. So her theme involves like, and I saw this, but I thought you saw it as well. Did I send it to you? The breakdown of the notes.
No.
Every theme is a version of the original Spider-Man. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Just reworked in a way. So Miles is one. This fucking guy on a piano on TikTok was like, if you listen to this, dun, 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 and this is Miles. Dun, 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 dun. And he remixes it, and then this is Gwen. Dun, 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 and it's the same fucking notes, but she's got like drums involved. So in that sense, now Miles is like in this universe. He thinks he's home, and whenever the music starts to build,
and it's not quite.
It's not quite where he is. And when we introduce to Miles Morales, the Prowler, who looks fucking badass.
Yo, he
looks like he could kill a motherfucker.
Yeah. Because he has lost his father.
He's lost his father and he's like, fuck, I turn to my Uncle Aaron.
The gut punch in that whole thing, because Miles gets to what we think is his universe. Yeah. I mean, just the tension of that scene is already coming to me. But Miles gets to that universe, right? And he sees his mom and he's like, I'm going to tell you what's going on now.
Yeah.
And we need to save that. And everything happens in such a way that there's just no time for anyone to explain to him. Like, there's stuff that she doesn't get where you're like, why doesn't she get that?
Yeah.
Or why is she saying that the way she's saying that?
Yeah.
And then Uncle Aaron sticks in. And Uncle Aaron is like, he's helping and he's got.
Because now Miles is also like,
what the fuck
is happening here? And he's like figuring it out. And it's but the way that it gets in the end when they capture him and it's revealed, like, I'm Miles, my name is Miles Morales.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn. But then, look, Hobie leaves.
Yeah.
Because he's like, fuck this, I'm out. You guys are fucking with this kid.
Yeah.
I'm out of this. He just tosses out. He fucks off. And then Gwen adds this whole battle because she can't go home. But she really wants to stop the dingus. But she has the dingus for a friend. And then she decides, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go save him.
And she gets the whole fucking
team together. So that music build up is also one of my favorite because it's like her theme and the other themes all come together. And she builds the team and they're like.
And then we have Spider-Man Noir.
We have Spider-Man Japan.
Yes, the one with the robot spider.
Yeah, Hamster
Everyone is the.
Because they come in for Miles.
That whole gang is there. Yes.
They come in to help Miles.
Yeah. Also, Ross, as all of that is unfolding, the spot is getting spottier.
Like the spot is basically a multiversal god at this point.
Yes.
Because he's acquired so much. He's basically reached his full potential. Mm. And he's like, now I'm going to show you why I'm your nemesis.
Yeah.
And he's coming for Miles Morales.
And we have Miguel O'Hara.
Yeah, who's coming for Miles Morales.
For Miles Morales with the whole Spider-Man.
And we have Ben Reilly, who's coming for Miles.
But he's just going to have a cry for us somewhere.
So it's such a wonderful story. And when it came to an end and it said to be continued, I did not feel cheated.
No.
Not like Fast X.
No. No. You know, upon a rewatch, Ross,
I'm glad and happy that you've come to see things the way we see things. I was telling Abby, like, you can't, the theater experience and the movie itself, You get those lines blended that's, sometimes.
That's two different things.
Yeah, and I do too, but in this show,
you have to be a bit more objective.
You have to. You have to look at the quality of the film and have your theater experience as well.
Yes, yes.
And that's where you lost the plot.
I went full theater experience.
Oh my God.
Full.
But this theater experience wasn't great for me across the Spider-Verse. No, there was a woman talking the entire time.
No.
It was really cuck. That's why I'm super excited to watch it again.
And the thing that I get kind of frustrated with is when people don't understand what is happening on the screen, man.
Yeah.
Like there's a scene where...
Well, I don't know if it's... some people just aren't interested.
Yeah, I guess it's that.
People consume but media differently.
But I want everyone to like have the experience that I'm having.
Yeah, but that's like, fucking crazy.
You know?
That's the talk of a crazy person. You know? Can't expect
just
everyone...
Just live the world the way I do.
No, that's madness.
That's all I need.
No, I don't expect that of people. I just don't want people to affect my experience.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I'm concerned about. But I can't wait to watch it again. I did not feel cheated, even though it was to be continued.
It's almost the perfect way to do a midpoint film in a trilogy, I would say.
And it's so good because the antagonists, if you will, are the good guys.
Yes.
There's no...
Supposed
yeah, there's guys. A big bad brewing. Mm. But this story is about
so much more.
Him finding out what's actually happening and what could happen. Mm. And now you have this morality question of like, shit, should we sacrifice one person to save millions?
I'm fucking team Miles, bruh.
Yeah, but like, I mean, we come up with Miles. That's why. I mean, come on.
He's to yell with us.
Yeah.
To yell with the Miles.
He's also black, so I'm already in his corner. So, like, fuck. But your amazing film. Watch it, please. I know we didn't get into all the discussion around it because there's so many Easter eggs. One thing I will mention was there's a little scene of a Lego Spider-Man universe.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. He's a 14-year-old named Preston Mutanga. Mm. And he had animated trailers with Lego, like, on his own, in his house.
Yeah.
Alone.
Mm. Just...
I know. And then the directors of this movie or the creators of this movie saw that and they were like, we have to get hold of this lighty. And they called him and like, hey, do you want to work on the new Spider-Verse movie? And he has a scene in the film that he animated himself.
Yeah, in the Lego world.
In the Lego. Boop, boop, boop.
You know, Ross, they frame it so altruistically now. Eh? But I mean, there's some controversy going on.
Oh, and, with that?
Right? No. There's controversy going on with treatment of... Like right? I was thinking to myself, they got this light.
Young. It's child slavery. Yeah. No, look, they did announce that it was going to come out next year at first.
Yes.
Now you have the strike and all that jazz, but still, when you speak to the animators, they're like, we had so much pressure under this film, there's no fucking way we're going to be coming out next year because Phil Lord and Chris Miller. However great they are, so their process, from what I can tell from interviews and stuff, is they will do the story, they will animate things, they will show them, and then the only once they've seen all the work or a lot of the work, they'll be like, no, we need to change this and this. So there's a lot of going back.
A lot of last minute stuff.
And changing things.
And that is what I was alluding to earlier about controversy, because now with the digital release... Mm. There's apparently big changes that they've made.
There's three or four different versions.
Yeah.
And it's like random stuff. Like the dreadlocks are longer on the Miles Prowler.
And there's a part where Miles...
Dialogue that's missing.
Where Miles, he sees what Miguel says as opposed to hearing what Miguel says.
Yeah.
So he thinks about it instead of Miguel saying a type of a thing. But what people are saying now is that... This is probably what the animators have been saying all along is the issue, is that all these different versions exist because they animated all of that stuff and they kept having to do like, no, actually we want this and then we want that. And now there was this release that doesn't make any sense.
But even during the
screenings.
Yeah, there were different screenings in different countries and stuff.
Yeah,
What the fuck? No, that's not cool, man.
So as of now, we don't really have a release date.
No, we don't.
They're talking about 3 years at least, potentially.
I'm fine. I'll wait for 3 years.
I'll wait, but it's like, don't tell me to wait a year and then tell me afterwards.
No, I understand. Look, we know how tough it is for the animators and stuff, and I would rather them take 3 years and make it perfect.
And but I mean, what was the gap between the last two? It was about
several.
Yeah, it was a while.
A while.
And even there, the working conditions for the animators were insane because it took them forever to get the story together. And then when the animators had to make the actual stuff, they gave them like no time at all to do it. So a long period is not the only thing that will help you. It's they need to change how they do shit.
They need to change how they live lives.
Live their lives.
Word to your mother.
1 mile at a time.
Oh, wait. Just movie. Just time. But fuck.
Best Spider-Man movie.
Best Spider-Man movie ever. Do we have any shout-outs? We have 30 seconds.
No.
If someone went to the fighters, Jody, how would they do that?
They could do so on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Bicycle Brasser Podcast. And they can write to us, bicyclebrasser@gmail.com.
Enjoy the film, everyone. Remember, be good for Noxy
and Charlie.